Hello, my name is Kurt Joman, and I am the author of the book, A Soliton and Its Owned Bions, Awareness and Mind. In this recording, I will read a specific part of my book, and during this reading, whenever I say the word okay, that marks the beginning of added commentary by me that is not in my book. At the time of this recording, it is 2018, and I am 62 years old. Okay, in this recording, I am going to be reading footnote 158. It has a total of about 1,200 words, and it covers the subject of sexual attraction. Okay, I'm going to start reading it now. Quote, regarding gender and the physical body, Ian Stevenson's book, Where Reincarnation and Biology Intersect, left me with the impression that it's typical for a person to have many human lives in a row as the same gender, man or woman, before eventually switching to the opposite gender. Typically, somewhere between 10 to 40 human lives being the same gender before switching. This is my crude estimate based on the limited relevant data given in his book. Note that this typically long time of 10 to 40 human lives before an awareness mind switches to having the other gender's physical body is not a problem for the construction of that new physical body, because the awareness mind that passes from one human life to the next, with the afterlife in between, is not responsible for constructing its human body. Instead, cell-controlling bions construct the human body. Stevenson's book details about half a dozen reincarnation cases where the child was the opposite gender in its remembered previous life. For example, a girl remembering her previous life as a man. In these cases that Stevenson details, typically for that child, there is some significant carryover from the previous life in terms of that child's attitudes and preferences, the most common of which, based on those cases in his book, is a preference for wearing the opposite gender's clothing. For example, a girl who remembers being a man in her previous life, wanting to dress like a boy. Perhaps this cross-dressing preference is primarily due to that child wanting to identify with its remembered previous life, or perhaps it's primarily due to that child's current allocation plan, or perhaps both factors are contributing to that child's cross-dressing preference. Most children, of course, have no conscious memory of their previous human life. So, for most children, even if they were the opposite gender in their previous life, they are probably less likely, on average, to want to cross-dress than those children who actually remember their previous life as the opposite gender. Assuming it's typical to have many human lives in a row as the same gender, and then switch to having many human lives in a row as the opposite gender, it seems reasonable to suppose that there will be some kind of carryover when one has many lives in a row with a man's body and then switches to having a woman's body, and likewise, some kind of carryover when one has many lives in a row with a woman's body and then switches to having a man's body. Define the switch life as being either the first life in a man's body after many lives in a row in a woman's body, or the first life in a woman's body after many lives in a row in a man's body. Probably the most significant carryover for one switch life, in terms of its effect on that switch life, is the current detail of one's sexual mind part and its associated data that identifies what one is sexually attracted to. The allocation plan that one has for the switch life will determine how strongly one feels sexual attraction when a young adult. In general, the bigger the allocation to the sexual mind part, the more strongly one will experience sexual desire and attraction. However, the size of the allocation to the sexual mind part does not determine what one is sexually attracted to. Instead, what one is sexually attracted to is dependent on the detail of one's sexual mind part and its associated data that identifies what one is sexually attracted to. After thinking about it and weighing the evidence, I've concluded that what one is sexually attracted to has three components. Okay, now there's a list of these three components. The first component is, quote, the carryover from one's most recent previous human life in terms of what one found sexually attractive in that life. Okay, the second component, quote, in the current human life, what one learns from family, society, and direct experience regarding the sexes, sexual differences, and sexual compatibility. Okay, now the third component. Quote, what Schopenhauer said that each person has within himself a mental model of what the physical body of an ideal person should look like, and the extent to which that person's own physical body deviates from that internal model, that is the extent to which that person will find correcting or offsetting physical qualities attractive in the opposite sex. Okay, so that ends the list of three components that determine what one is sexually attracted to. Okay, so now I'll continue reading the footnote. In my own case, since puberty, I have only found the opposite sex, females, to be sexually attractive. Many years later, when I thought about it, I concluded that my being sexually attracted to females was inborn, because it was there from the beginning and I didn't have to learn it. Thinking about it now, I believe that that, quote, inborn, close quote, quality was simply a carryover from my most recent previous human life, in which I had a man's body. Also, assuming it is normal to have at least 10 lives in a row as the same gender, then it's likely that my most recent previous human life was not a switch life, and my sexual mind part has already had more than enough time to fully learn how to identify what I am sexually attracted to, which is women in their late teens to early 30s, parenthesis. In my teens after puberty, I was sexually attracted to girls my own age, close parenthesis. However, when I have my next switch life, having a woman's body, my sexual mind part will still, in effect, be programmed to find females sexually attractive, and that, quote, inborn, close quote, quality will probably make me a lesbian, at least initially until my experiences in that switch life, and, if necessary, additional experiences in the first one or two human lifetimes after that switch life teach me to find men sexually attractive instead of women. Parenthesis, in effect, reprogramming my sexual mind part to find the then currently opposite sex attractive, instead of what would then be the same sex. Close parenthesis. Given the above regarding carryover, consider the following four human groups. Okay, I now give a list of four items. The first item, or human group in this case, is, quote, continuing male, having a man's body in both the current life and at least the five most recent previous lives. Okay, the second item in this list of human groups. Quote, continuing female, having a woman's body in both the current life and at least the five most recent previous lives. Okay, now the third item, or third human group, being considered here. Quote, switched to male, having a man's body in the current life and a woman's body in at least the five most recent previous lives. Okay, so the fourth human group considered here, quote, switched to female, having a woman's body in the current life and a man's body in at least the five most recent previous lives. Okay, so that's the list of four different human groups, and I'll just repeat them quickly. Continuing male, continuing female, switched to male, and switched to female. Okay, let's resume with the text of the footnote. Quote, due to carryover, the rates of homosexuality and bisexuality will be much higher in the switched to male and switched to female groups compared to the continuing male and continuing female groups. Of the four groups, continuing female is the most feminine, and continuing male is the most masculine. Note that the biggest problem caused for oneself by switching genders, which is being sexually attracted to the same gender instead of the opposite gender, is probably an underlying reason for why it is typical for humans to have many lives in a row as the same gender, and why the percentage of homosexuals is always small in the total human population. However, people do eventually switch genders, perhaps because one eventually gets bored with being the same gender all the time. Okay, that's the end of footnote 158. And that's the end of this recording.